In a referendum, very narrowly, at last election in November, they passed, not in the districts where people were actually sitting on the sidewalk, but they passed in the districts in the hills where people never sit on the sidewalks. It's kind of strange. In any case, these laws went into effect in March, and the day they went into effect, the American Civil Liberties Union and several panhandlers got an injunction against the laws. The laws made it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk for almost any purpose other than to collapse or to sit at a sidewalk cafe. And they also made it illegal for people to ask for spare change, even with signs, which is actually a worse situation than Santa Cruz. In Santa Cruz, you can sit down with a sign, but you can't say anything. It's kind of strange, you know. If you ask for money from a seated position in Santa Cruz, that is a crime, punishable by, I don't know, $100 to $168 fine. If you do it a second time within 6 months, that's up to 6 months in jail, buddy. So watch your step, madam. Don't do it. In fact, those are unconstitutional laws. In fact, they haven't really been enforced in terms of any prosecutions taken to term here in Santa Cruz. Since 1991, a federal court, was it a federal court? I think it was a federal court. It was the Blair decision. Since 1991, there have been no panhandling cases taken to trial, but frequently people are threatened with this and are intimidated into pleading guilty. But getting back to Berkeley, in Berkeley you had this Proposition O, this copycat law from Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz passed one in April, so Berkeley passed a slightly less onerous one, although more onerous regarding signs. And ACLU immediately went into gear and had this law enjoined, which, incidentally, they haven't done here in Santa Cruz. The ACLU is apparently more interested in, I'm not quite sure what they're interested in, actually. I wish I knew. We've been to them numerous times asking them to do this, but they smile and move on or to the next order of business. The ACLU did get the law enjoined, and a federal judge, Claudia Wilkins, found that the Berkeley law was completely unconstitutional, and she enjoined its enforcement and recently found that it, she granted a preliminary injunction which said, please don't enforce this law or you'll be held in contempt of court, with the exception of one small section where she said you can't lie down on the sidewalk, and even that is in question and will be considered at any trials. So Berkeley had its law thrown out. So their attempt to turn Berkeley into a yuppie paradise, the attempt of the city council and the downtown merchants association up there, a business association, has failed, at least as far as that law goes. But when that happened, the police turned to another law, which they had actually been using before this law passed, the Proposition O law about sitting on the sidewalk, which was a simply completely irrelevant law, an archaic, arcane law, 3262, a vehicle code, under which they would walk up to a homeless person sitting on a milk crate and say to that person, okay, you're sitting on an object on the sidewalk, even if they weren't blocking the sidewalk. And there is a law against blocking the sidewalk, which of course they don't use because homeless people don't usually block the sidewalk. Their intention is to coexist with people, indeed to spare change, but to coexist and be a part of the community in their own way and not to create a blockade. So police were giving away tickets like hot dogs and hotcakes, I suppose you'd say, for this business of sitting on a milk crate. Now, the law was originally intended to apply to businesses who put out furniture and displays in order to stop businesses from monopolizing the sidewalks. And we know, of course, that never happens. And here in Santa Cruz, of course, so monopolization is proceeding apace, and we'll get into that later, perhaps. But they actually arrested David Nadell, who is the owner of the Ashkenaz nightclub and had been a defendant in a lawsuit which the University of California brought against People's Park activists who had stood up to the university's attempt to essentially trample on the public space there, set up their own sports courts, and drive the homeless out of the area. It created massive riots, cost the city millions of dollars, many police incidents of police brutality, and in fact is about to happen again, and that's another thing which Cornerstone Carol Denny from Berkeley is reporting on for us through me, or I'm going to tell you what she has to say on that, and that's coming down down the road very soon. Back in 1991, the University of California authorities put in a volleyball court, and they've been attempting to put in these upscale sports courts in order to destroy traditional People's Park space, which was used for political rallying places, homeless people to gather, poor people to be, and they have been partially successful. They put in a basketball court, which is used because people like basketball, but the volleyball court has been completely unused, and it's been the subject of numerous protests. It's been vandalized repeatedly. The community, a significant portion of the community, don't want it there. But anyway, getting back to what the Berkeley police have been doing, because the federal judge said, no, you cannot arrest someone for innocent conduct like sitting on the sidewalk, they returned to this law which says, if a merchant puts out lawn furniture that is on the sidewalk, that's, you know, they can't do that. Well, they don't go after the merchants, of course. They use that to go after homeless people in this very contorted interpretation of the law. And of course, it's ridiculous, but that's what they do. And in this case involving David Nadell, who is a local Berkeley activist, he kind of did a scam or a sting operation on the police. He sat down on the sidewalk on a little milk crate, and they came and arrested him, and he had a video camera. The case was thrown out of court. He filed a complaint with the Civilian Police Review Board. The Police Review Board upheld the complaint. The city manager, in a rare action, upheld the Police Review Board. That's often the weakness of police review boards, because in most cases, city managers, almost in all cases, have veto power over what they do, as they do in Santa Cruz, by the way, if there was ever a case that actually got that far, and that hasn't happened yet. So what did the police do? They've turned around, and for the last 2 months they've been, and I've seen this personally, I've been up in Berkeley, giving tickets out to homeless people who are sitting on milk crates, because they've been told by a federal judge, no, you can't harass them for sitting, now they're going to go after them for sitting on a milk crate. I mean, if they'll try to find, you know, maybe they'll start going after people who are having insufficiently fancy shoes. I mean, it's hard to tell what their next line of inquiry is going to be. So that was thrown out, in the sense that the city manager, in a rare opinion, directed the police department to stop doing that. I mean, this is really quite a shock. The city managers in Berkeley have been notoriously supportive of measures which the businesses, some of the reactionary businesses, want done, which the police do as a matter of course, unfortunately, because they seem to have a similar mentality. And Carol Denny reports to me that she went to the police review board meeting this week, and unfortunately, she is not happy with the police review board up there. She finds that even though they have asked the city council to take action on this, city council has done nothing. It was up to the city. Finally, the city manager did this on his own based upon her and activist Ray Reese, who was a man on the streets working with issues around poverty. He was simply documenting all these police incidents of cops going up and telling people, okay, get out, you're getting a ticket for sitting on this milk crate because I don't like the way you look, right? And this was apparently two officers who were doing this in unusual numbers. And the police review board, again, is apparently afraid to challenge police officers around this. But the threat by the actual, what Carol Denny and Ray Reese did was they sent out documented packets to news media, news weeklies, the American Civil Liberties Union, and free radio up there, and embarrassed the city manager into stopping this practice, or at least into ordering the police to stop the practice. Now, whether the police will stop that practice is another question. The PRC itself, when, for instance, Carol asked them to look into the question of getting the money back to homeless people who were harassed under this ordinance, of which there have been at least 8 cases that have reached court, they, like little chickens, squawked and balked and said, oh, we don't want to carry things that far and ask the police and the city to act fairly in this matter, and we don't want to offend them, blah, 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 blah. And she got nowhere. But they did agree to send the city council, that is the police review board, did agree to send the Berkeley City Council the same concern message that they had sent a year ago when the practice was happening. So the problem with the city bureaucracies that are supposed to be helping the victims of police misconduct, the victims of official abuse, is that they seem to be more interested in courting the favor of these groups. And I think this is unfortunately the case here in Santa Cruz, when you actually have a police officer, frequently a uniformed police officer, sitting up on the dais with the Civilian Police Review Board. I mean, it's incredible. Now, we successfully asked a man be in civilian clothes, and he often is, but occasionally he's not. And what is a cop doing sitting up there anyway? I mean, if a cop is going to sit up there, how about a citizen advocate? How about a street person? How about somebody who's been abused by the police? How about an ACLU attorney who's also up there to represent the people and who also has equal time? The Civilian Police Review Board here in Santa Cruz, as I frequently told them, is supposed to be an advocacy group for people who are abused. They are supposed to investigate and support the rights of those who are abused. They aren't even really an impartial tribunal like a court. I mean, the courts exist as impartial tribunals to deal with damages from police abuse, and they're very hard to use. They cost a lot of money, and you have to have a lot of clear evidence and spend a lot of time and take a lot of grief to go to court. So I conceive of police review boards as supposedly, they're supposed to be encouraging people to bring real complaints to the board so that the board can put pressure on the police department through its existence, through publicizing these complaints, through recommending disciplinary measures to these complaints, through independently investigating these complaints to stop abuses. Stop abuses such as in Santa Cruz continue to happen. I hear reports of Officer Perry, known as RoboCop, downtown, threatening deadheads and street people that if they set down a backpack at the farmer's market, they will have it confiscated. This is a report that was given to me by two young people 2 days ago at the Food Not Bombs meal, shortly after the meal. Now, I like Officer Perry as a person. No problem with him. He's a good guy in some respects, sure. I'm glad to see a black faces on the force. I think we should have more of them. But frankly, the practices of harassing people for sitting down, lying down, putting down a backpack, having a dog, trying to play music on the mall, these are inappropriate kinds of things for police officers to be doing. And I think that they're inappropriate things to be expecting the police to do as well. Though, frankly, I'm wondering how much of it is merchant expectation and complaint and how much of it is police officer initiative and just kind of a flexing of muscles and, or who knows, directives from sergeants or lieutenants or even the chief himself, Chief Belcher, Chief Steve Belcher, who is our police chief. Who knows, we may have a guest here later on the show. We'll talk about Sergeant who? Would you like to come in and talk about this sergeant? Yeah.
He's famous. He's
come on in. We may have a guest on, an on-the-street guest on police abuse. But let's continue with this this report from Berkeley. I was talking about how in Berkeley there was a victory. Both the sitting on the sidewalk panhandling law was thrown out by a federal judge, and also the police substitute law, sit on a milk crate, get a fine, has been ordered discontinued by the city manager. So these are victories in Berkeley. It would be nice if we could see some similar victories here in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz not only has its worst in the state set of downtown ordinances, but these ordinances, which public protest was able to kind of push into the background last year, are now being enforced again. And this is a matter of serious concern to a lot of us, at least me, and I know of others who don't like the idea. Wanton Dave Jacobs, a homeless activist who has been harassed mercilessly by the police for looking like a grizzled sourdough and hanging out in public too much, on the streets and doing in public protests, has recently gotten a ticket for lying on the sidewalk in the Locust Street garage. Now, wait a minute here. We want you to come back. Come back. We actually have a surprise guest here who is going to talk to us about police abuse. Can you please sign in?
Hi. My name is Spit, and I'm here to tell you about a Sergeant Slaughter. Now, we all have one of those in every single town that we're in, Sergeant Slaughter. Unfortunately, here he doesn't call himself Slaughter, he calls himself Sergeant Kick Your Ass Around or something like that, and he threatens to kick your ass if you act smart or something, I'm not sure. But we all got one of them, and just let everybody know, if you see him, tell him that Spit says,
well, there you have it, a somewhat visceral reaction to police abuse in Santa Cruz. I was hoping for a little more specifics, because generally that's what I do, is I go around collecting detailed information on this kind of situation, but I think a little gut reaction is also useful, occasionally called for. Police misconduct is supposed to be challengeable under our Civilian Police Review Board. And I'm going to give you that phone number in case you don't have it. Civilian Police Review Board is at 429-3262. And they hold regular meetings second Monday of every month at City Council Chambers at 5 o'clock. That's 809 Center Street. And their main office is at 915 Cedar, and they're usually in from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And again, phone number for Police Review Board is 429-3262. And I encourage you, if you've suffered any kind of abuse from police, you feel is abusive, go down there and write out a complaint. And the reason for that is you start establishing a record of what's going on in town. I don't expect these clowns on the Police Review Board are going to do much to help you, you know, but it's really important to put them on record that they are not going unnoticed. And feel free also to call me. I work with a group called SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. Actually, you won't be calling me. You'll be calling Nutcracker Nick Whitehead. SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. Its number is 475-2012. Cool. Thank you, John, for taping the show, if you're listening. I appreciate that. Just got a message here. Hey, we're getting all kinds of messages. Huevo Sancheros from the family of Free Radio says hi. Hi there, Huevo Sancheros, whoever you may be. We actually do have a sort of a rudimentary phone line, but no patch yet. And if you want to make comments about the show that you want me to address in greater detail, I can't really take calls on the air, but if you call me at 423-4833, even now, which is my home phone, with an answering machine, I'll take any messages, and I will get back to you. And I'll also mention any information which you want mentioned in my next show, which, again, I'm Monday and Friday, and you're listening to Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides here at Radio Free Santa Cruz, or Free Radio Santa Cruz, or Radio Santa Free Cruz, or whatever you will. So, police review, usually a cover for doing nothing, but, again, can be used by people here in town, here in Santa Cruz, to keep tabs on the cops. 429-3262. 915 Cedar Street, open from 9 to 1 each day. File complaints. That's my advice to you. What else we got here? Well, yeah, Carol Denny, Cornerstone Carol, a fighting activist, an activist with cancer, I might add, cancer that is in remission, but is still there, and she's nothing can stop this woman, and she continues to single-handedly, again, it's through her publicity campaign, not because the Police Review Board took any action, not because the City Council took any action, not because the mayor took any action, not because the local ACLU even took any action, although the ACLU up there was vigorous enough to take Proposition O successfully to court, and for which I congratulate them. But because of her action in getting information out to the media, the police's attempt to use vehicle code 3262 to harass homeless people sitting on milk crates has now been dealt a blow. City Manager Rucker has told the Berkeley Police Department know that ain't going to be too good. We might get sued on this stuff. She reports, however, that, you know, police are using other more traditional tactics up there to harass people. For example, she got a call from a woman who wanted to give a guy some money. He was standing by the freeway with a sign. She had stopped at a light in her car. She'd, you know, gotten into her purse to get the money out. Before she could give him the $20, apparently she was in a generous mood, this motorcycle cop roars up, frisks the guy, and get this, takes all his money. The light changes, and so she has to go and get on the freeway. This is the way the story is conveyed to me by Cornerstone Carol. Brutality, she says, continues in Berkeley in what she calls crowding, where, for instance, two bike cops roll up on a bike, and they stand really close to a person sitting on the sidewalk or sitting down on a milk crate with a sign that says, "We'll work for food," or, you know, "Give me some money for a beer," or whatever their sign says. And the two cops stand there and try to engage this person in conversation. Now, you should know that the first thing you should do if cops attempt to engage you in conversation that you don't want to get into, you should be aware that it's, you can say, "Am I under arrest?" And if they say no, it's then you have a perfect right, and often it's wisest to walk away to avoid a conversation. Now, I myself don't follow this because I like talking to cops. I'm kind of an exception in this. But generally speaking, if cops are purposefully walking the streets looking for things to cite people for, you got to be real careful, and it often is wisest to leave. But again, if you leave, the cops are getting you to do what they want in that situation. They're successfully, as Carol Denny calls it, crowding you. Crowding is how she describes what police are doing in Berkeley now that they can't arrest you under Proposition O, now that they can't cite you under City Code 3262 for sitting on a milk crate. Now they're just going to make up their own laws and crowd you, intimidate you away. It's not good. It's happening up there. And it's happening down here, too. As I said, I've gotten reports of lying tickets, people getting a ticket for lying down, not for blocking anything, but for lying down. Dave Jacobs got, actually, he got two tickets. He got one ticket because he fell asleep outside a courthouse during the Kim Argula trial. Candlelight Kim Argula was being tried last February for actions arising from the downtown police mini riot in May of last year when the police were arresting dozens of people for sitting on the sidewalk supporting the right of people to serve and eat free food. You may remember that. It's when the police literally occupied several blocks of the downtown, beat up to 12 people, declared a virtual state of siege, and then not one conviction could they get in any court, indicating that their actions were completely reprehensible. Of course, they were upheld by then-Mayor Squawk Box Scott Kennedy. Catherine Birdseed Byers, our new mayor, has not had too much to say in any criticism about the officers who were under the leadership of then-acting chief Steve Belcher. Yes, the same man who's now police chief. So, but before I get completely lost in my rhetoric here, the same things are happening here in Santa Cruz, and the same things need to be monitored and reported. I encourage people to go on the air with specific incidents of what has happened to them. I encourage them to file complaints with SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. I encourage them, 475-2012, for those of you who didn't have a pencil handy, contact the Civilian Police Review Board, and even though it's not worth spit, as our last speaker may have said, do something with them as well at 429-3262 and file a complaint with them. And you can also file a claim with the city. You can file a claim with the city for damages, and that puts the issue on record. You may not even go any further than that, but when police were regularly seizing homeless people's bedding at an ongoing protest in 1990, which we had at the post office, we called it the Post Office Homeless Table Protest, where homeless people for 8.5 months, 24 hours a day, staffed a table in spite of relentless police harassment, dozens and dozens of arrests and tickets, I might even say hundreds, in order to protest the city's continuing refusal to give people the right to sleep at night, to allow people to sleep at night without harassment. We're not talking about free places to sleep where they're providing you with velvet cushions and soft downy beds. We're not even talking about shelter space. We're talking about letting people alone. That was the issue in the protest in 1990. Eventually co-opted by liberals under the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep, who failed to get a campground area, which was later secured through a variety of means, including their work, protest work, Citizens Committee for the Homeless activity. And we now have the open-air shelter, though I am told, and I was told on Wednesday, and I have not received any contrary information, that there is great hassles out there concerning the rights of people to put up tents at night. This is on the back 40, the open-air shelter, as it's called, at River Street, where staff members apparently are allowed to have their tents up, but other people who aren't so privileged don't get that option. And I'm getting reports it's being done in a somewhat authoritarian manner, and that, again, it's not homeless people who are running this situation at all. It's some bureaucrats who are hired to do the work and make the decisions, even though they don't have to sleep out there in the cold and the wet. They just come in and tell people what to do. You know, it's only stopped and contained when people organize. It's only stopped and contained when people stand up and say, no, no thank you, not interested. We are going to reclaim our basic human rights. And that's what people in Santa Cruz need to do in a variety of arenas. And I've been speaking about that issue and writing about that issue for 8 years at least here locally. And I encourage people to stand up and fight back. And if you want to fight back with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, give me a call at 423-HUF or 423-4833. And you can call that same number if you want to make any comments about this radio show, if you're interested in being on the radio yourself, if you have anything to report concerning the police brutality you think might be of interest on the question of poor people's or houseless rights. I'd also like to make an appeal for those of you who have big checkbooks on behalf of Cornerstone Carol, the activist in Berkeley, Cornerstone Carol Denny, who's giving us all this information about what's happening to poor people, who through her sending out packets of information to media has actually gotten the city manager to tell the police chief to lay off. She is currently in the midst of a major lawsuit. She was involved in organizing people to resist the University of California's occupation and destruction of People's Park, its attempt to build sports courts, remove the free stage, remove the free clothes box. And people successfully did defend against some of that and are still defending. And Food Not Bombs is serving meals in the park. And by the way, the city council has now gone on record as opposing that or as supporting the movement of Food Not Bombs and the free box out of Berkeley's People's Park. So hold on to your hats. You know, look at your timetables. You know, get ready to pack a bag and head to Berkeley to resist the latest university city takeover of the park, because it's coming very soon. City Council voted on Tuesday to support, quote, relocation of food services, the free box, and the homeless generally from People's Park, it sounds like. So back to the appeal for Carol Denny. Carol Denny is being sued by the University of California in a multi-million dollar lawsuit. The University of California is a multi-million, if not billion-dollar organization. It has lots of bucks. And they are suing Carol Denny because she's one of the people who spoke out publicly against the university's actions and was present with her body and was arrested, not violently, has never been convicted of anything in you know, numerous court trials and which charges were thrown out, dismissed, or not guilty was the verdict. Preposterous charges, like she threw roses into the volleyball court, and she was charged with attacking the distributing thorny stems as weapons. I mean, this is the kind of thing that they went after her for. But in 1992, they went after her and three other activists, Dave Nadell, who's since withdrawn from this lawsuit, or who's kind of opted out of it, Michael Lee, and Bob Sparks, who died last month, or actually died earlier this month. He's a longtime activist. And Carol is really the only one who's being pursued. She and Mike Lee are the only two being pursued under this lawsuit. And they countersued in what's called the defamation suit, in which they claimed the University of California was lying about them, claiming they were violent when they were not. And a lower court judge found, hey, the government has free speech rights. They can slander people all they want. Unless you can prove they're acting under this very difficult to show standard of reckless disregard and malice, the government can use its vast weight and power to slander people without any kind of responsibility. And Carol wanted to take this lawsuit to the Supreme Court. In order to do so, she needs an attorney and she needs money. She doesn't have an attorney right now, and she doesn't have any money. She is a poor person. She is ill with cancer. She is continuing to fight back. She has a brilliant radio show, which I'm going to play you some selections from later in this program. And she needs your help. So if you want to put together a $5 check, a $10 check, put a dollar in the mail, send it to the UC SLAPP Defense Fund. That's the UC SLAPP, S-L-A-P-P, Defense Fund. SLAPP is in capital letters. At 1840 Woolsey Street, W-O-O-L-S-E-Y, 1840 Woolsey Street, in Berkeley, California, 94705. Again, that's UC SLAPP Defense Fund, 1840 Woolsey Street, 94705 in Berkeley, California. She can use anything. She can use a letter supporting her if you can't send money. Tell her that to keep on the fight that she's fighting. She's fighting for the rights of us to essentially use public spaces without being told by large corporations that those aren't for us, those are for the people who are funded, who have the money, who are appropriately dressed, and so forth. Anyway, more on the situation in People's Park. She reports that on Tuesday at council, with two dissenting votes, the city council voted that they will, quote, encourage the food programs, that's Food Not Bombs, to exercise their option to relocate. That's city bureaucrats for get out or we'll arrest you. You may not believe that. It may sound very innocuous, but based on my experience in San Francisco and in Santa Cruz, both of which places I have been arrested for serving free food, I fear that Berkeley is going to follow that path. And this is to be done by June 15th. So it is coming down the pike. That's dump the free box in People's Park, get the free food out of People's Park, all by June 15th. Carol points out that the free box isn't just a box. It's a concept. I mean, the city destroyed it. Actually, it wasn't the city. It was the university. The university and the city have a complicated sharing agreement in People's Park. I believe the university controls the center. The city controls the two sides, or they lease it from the university, and there's a issue as to what's going to happen when the lease expires this year. And there's a lot of politicking going on around that. But five times in January of 1991, shortly before the People's Park erupted in under police brutality and violence with the putting in of the volleyball courts, five times the free box was torn out by the University of California police. The University of California actually has its own police force, just like the University of California here in Santa Cruz, and they're not subject to police review either in Santa Cruz or in Berkeley. Carol, Denny, and others were not only abused by this police force, but actually molested, and there was a federal court suit against that, which she lost. But based on my investigations into these cases, in which local Santa Cruz activists who went up to support the Berkeley activists were abused, they are an ongoing practice. Abuse can mean males searching females. It can mean males hog-tying and striking people who are in handcuffs. Numerous obscene kind of activities that police departments, police officers have done over the last 4 years in Berkeley around the People's Park disputes, the People's Park resistance. So the free box, which is a box where people come and give clothing and other people come and pick it up. And it's really a way of sharing that which you don't need with those who do need it. It was destroyed five times, within a month, actually. as the university attempted another program in 1991 to remove the homeless from the park. It was rebuilt 5 times, and it was still there, and it has been there since 1991. And Carol points out that the free box is really more of a concept than a box, because all you have to do is know there's a spot where you go, and people will help. The people, you can just pull up in a car and give away clothes, and that can happen. So even when they destroy it, it comes back, and even when the physical object is gone, the moral reality, the organizational reality, the spiritual reality remains. Carol says that the UCs is going to, and the city seem to be on the verge of repeating the same moves they made in 1991, the same attempt to remove homeless services from the park that caused 6 months of holocaust and several $1 million, which are now close to $4 million in costs. Went to $3 million a year and a half ago. It was $2 million in the spring of 92, security construction costs alone. And Carol wants to see a phone tree organized around that. And if anybody's interested in helping with that, please give me a call at 423-4833. Or give a call to Berkeley. That's an even better idea. Call the Long Hall, which is the info shop up there, at 510-540-0751. That's 510-540-0751. If you want to support or offer your help to Berkeley, if you want to form a phone tree down here to learn if what's going on in terms of reacting to police activity, which is due to happen by June 15th. They want to have the free box removed, and they want to have meals removed. East Bay Food Not Bomb serves at least twice a week there. I think they may even serve 4 or 5 times a week or daily in People's Park in Berkeley, which is right above Telegraph Avenue at... what is it? Haste and Telegraph, thereabouts. A little bit up from Haste and Telegraph. What else is going on? Let's get a little more local. You know, there's a TV show that's a call-in show on Channel 71, which happens every Tuesday between 6 and 7 here in Santa Cruz. And 2 weeks ago, I think they had Art Danner, and one, that's a DA, call him Drumhead Danner because of his harassment of homeless activists over the years. He is currently being recalled, or let's say I hope he's going to be recalled. He's the subject of a recall campaign, and I hope I have the recall phone number here, which there have been a lot of shows on the recall. Yeah, here it is. It's phone number for the coalition to recall Art Danner is 457-2670 for all you folks who want to help out with that. They are circulating petitions to recall Danner, and looking for contributions of money, and that's P.O. Box 524, Santa Cruz, 95061, 457-2670, Coalition to Recall Danner. Danner was on the air on this community radio station 2 weeks ago, and then 1 week ago, Chief of Police Belcher was on the air. And this is a call-in talk show, so folks can call in and talk. Ask searching questions to these so-called public officials and expose your own areas of concern and their areas of negligence. If you don't have a TV, you should wait until about 6:20 and then call in. But if you can get access to a cable TV, watch it and call in on Tuesday. That's next Tuesday. That's, what is it, Tuesday the 31st, something like that? Tuesday, when Councilmember Mike RoboCop Rotkin is coming on. Now, Mike shares the name RoboCop for me with Officer Perry, who I also called RoboCop earlier. Actually, I don't call Perry RoboCop so much. It's the name he's kind of fondly acquired by people downtown based on his behavior there. I call Mike RoboCop Rotkin because of his threats to arrest me at City Council over the years because I've mentioned the names of City Council members when I go up to the mic. I usually give a speech at City Council when I speak there. I've kind of given up recently, but I talk about who's responsible for what pieces of legislation failing, who's responsible for making sure that it's illegal for people to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night. Mike Rotkin is one of those principal culprits. And he's going to be on the air, Mike Rotkin. He's a council member. He's a professor at University of California. He's a what I call a revolving door council member. He's in and out. He was mayor in the early 80s. He's vice mayor now. You know, he's one of the so-called progressive gang of politicians who keeps rolling back in, and for my money, does nothing about basic issues of poverty in Santa Cruz. He's constantly bragging about the social services in Santa Cruz, so people who have expertise in social services might be interested, like people from Welfare Parents Support Group, people from Hungry Women United, people from the Coalition for Human Dignity in Action, people from Refuse and Resist, people from HUF, people from Food Not Bombs. I encourage them to challenge Michael Rotkin Tuesday night between 6 and 7 when he appears on Channel 71 at the local television station. And I am so interested in this, and I've been talked into this, that I will personally be hosting a call-in party. If anybody wants, who doesn't have a cable TV, wants to watch the show, wants to use my phone to call in to RoboCop Mike Rotkin's show on the air, please come to 322 Maple Street. That's where I live. 322 Maple Street, 6 o'clock on Tuesday. That's it's next Tuesday, May 31st. And we will watch the show on TV, and we will call in. Bring your own refreshments and be prepared to clean up after yourself. Don't be drunk. Be sober. And you're invited to come. And if you've got something to say to Michael Rotkin, then you can call him up and say it. And you can also watch his show. That's 322 Maple Street. That's Maple in Washington at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night. So everyone's invited to come to that. We may have to have people sitting outside in a long line. No drunks. Bring yourselves, bring your friends, and bring your wits. What else is going on? Well, tomorrow there's a concert in the park. Concert in the park at noon. And by the park, I don't mean Loudon Nelson Park. I mean San Lorenzo Park. That's the big park right next to the court building. Concert in the park run by a group that's a religious group. I don't usually have a great deal to say about religious groups, but occasionally I put in a plug for them because in the free food distribution business, it's often people who are fundamentalist Christians who take a leading role. Now, I don't much like what they have to say about relationship between men and women. I don't like what they have to say about the state and how render unto Caesar and all that sort of thing. I don't much like what they have to say about sex. But I do respect the fact that religious people come out for their own reasons and feed people. And they've done this in San Francisco supporting Food Not Bombs. They've done this in Santa Cruz when the original impetus behind Peter Carota's St. Francis Catholic Soup Kitchen was to feed a lot of poor people who didn't have any food, and I respected him for that. Unfortunately, he then became his own program of feeding only the worthy, and that, unfortunately, is where it seems to lie now under Lee Loboa at the Catholic St. Francis Soup Kitchen up on Coral Street, which it serves noon meals, but only if you don't look like a deadhead, only if you don't have a free, decriminalized marijuana button, only if you're not a local political activist. There's a whole series of blacklists now around the meal at the St. Francis Catholic Soup Kitchen. I've been barred, others have been barred, not for, shouting and screaming, not for being abusive, but because we've criticized them in writing. And they can't take it. The First Amendment extends as far as the sidewalk for them, and don't come on their property if you've criticized them. They don't like that kind of criticism. In that, they're similar to Mike Rotkin, as I said, who has threatened me with arrest, as has Mayor Scott Kennedy, for in mentioning their names in speeches at City Council in what is supposedly an open forum during the oral communications segment of City Council. So, I have positive things to say about people from the church who come out on the streets and try to get some food to people, get some clothes to people, even if they're, primarily interested in hooking them up to their ideological habit, their ideological persuasion. And This is a religious group that's doing this concert at noon tomorrow in the park, concert in San Lorenzo Park. But I like concerts in parks. I want to see more of them. I think it's a great idea, whether it's, you know, done in, under this group or that group. And I'm particularly concerned, as is, I think, Mayor Byers, and on this one issue, it looks like Birdseed Byers and myself are on the same side. The police department wants to relocate to San Lorenzo Park. They want to move the police station to San Lorenzo Park. I know you may have heard about this. And there are going to be public hearings beginning on this. I believe they'll be starting on May 31st, around the same time, well, the same day that Rotkin is going to be on the air on television, where I invite you all to call in. And the phone number, by the way, in case you can't get to my party for that Rotkin call-in on Tuesday at 6 o'clock, is 425-4920. That's cable channel 71. That's 425-4920, the Rotkin call-in, where you can talk to your city councilman, your sofa bed socialist, Mike Rotkin. So I believe on that same night they're also starting study sessions for the question of where to relocate the police station. Some people want it to go, police department apparently wants to go to San Lorenzo Park. That's what I hear from secondhand sources. There are others who wanted to go to, they're talking about the used car dealership right across from Loudon Nelson Center. That's another prospect, which probably is better. If you're interested in this, give a call to the mayor's office for more information, 429-3540. 429-3540. What else is cooking? Well, there is...